I'm ready to fight. I've been looking for the devil all night. If I get him in my sights now, boom, boom, out go his line.
You're listening to the show that talks about stuff the others can't, don't, or won't. The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
I never been this man before. Till he stopped knocking on my front door. If I get him in my sights, boom, boom, out go his line.
Well, folks, I am looking quite forward to this next interview. The first interview on our show today. We've got many more coming up, including right after this one. The author of The Vampire Chronicles, Anne Rice, will be joining us as today's Droogle guest. If you don't know what Droogle is, go to our website, drewmarshall.ca, and click on Droogle, and that'll fill you in. Dr. Jeffrey Burton Russell is currently the professor of history emeritus at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Besides UCSB, he's also taught history and religious studies at Berkeley, Riverside, Harvard, New Mexico, Notre Dame. He has published 17 books and many articles, most of them in his special field, history of theology. He is most noted for his five-volume history of the concept of the devil, entitled The Devil, the next one, Satan, next one, Lucifer. And this one perplexes me, actually, because it's kind of a strange name. Dr. Russell, how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Can you please help me pronounce, first of all, the title of this other book that you have here? Is it Mephistopheles?
Right, Mephistopheles.
Yeah.
The name used for the devil by Goethe in his great poem, Faust.
Of course.
In Mephistopheles. Yeah.
Right. I just thought that was an ingredient in yogurt, right? Some sort of bacteria. But
I don't think you want to eat that.
No. And, of course, the other book he's written, The Prince of Darkness. So, listen, I know for a fact through the grapevine that I think the devil phase in your life is well over. When was the last time you wrote or spoke sort of frequently about the devil?
Well, the last book came out in 1988, and I haven't talked much about it in the past, I guess 20 years.
Right. Okay. Does it bother you that you're still known as one of the world's or the world's leading expert on the devil? Is there somebody else out there who's done more than you on the devil?
No, I don't think so. Certainly not in English. And I don't know if anybody's done more on it in any other language either.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's dive right into this, because I've been speaking with people throughout the week, as I do when a show is coming up, and I know there's someone on my show, and I say to people, if you were interviewing him, what questions would you ask? You see, I don't actually do the hard work. I get other people to do it for me. You see how that works?
All right.
So, first of all, what do I call you? Dr. Jeffrey Burton Russell.
You call me Jeffrey.
All right, Jeffrey. I appreciate that. Do you believe that the devil exists? Simple question. Yes or no?
Well, it can't be answered yes or no. If the answer is, do you believe in a crimson-colored guy with horns and a tail, the answer is obviously not. Of course not. But do I believe there's a force of evil that is beyond nature, beyond the physical universe as we know it? Yeah, I do believe there is a force of evil.
Okay, so you believe that there is a devil in the way described by Scripture and most Judeo-Christian theologians talk about?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so this is what I know about the devil, and I want you to tell me if I'm on the mark here. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, the devil started out as a good-looking angel in charge of music, got arrogant, got kicked out of heaven, and has vowed to screw things up for God.
Well, I don't know about how good-looking he was. Although the first picture we have of the devil actually is remarkably good-looking, dating from the 4th century. He's quite handsome, oddly enough. And in charge of music, I don't know about that either. But the idea is that that God created the angels, and one of the great angels, the most important ones, was Satan. And like all angels and humans, he had free will, free choice, and the choice to love God or to pursue his own desires, and he chose not to love God. And so he was, according to the Bible, thrown out of heaven. I think he maybe threw himself out by that action. But anyway, that's how he becomes the devil. He's a fallen angel.
Right. Okay. So the big scripture I remember is when Lucifer said these sorts of words. I don't care what you want, God. This is paraphrasing, obviously. This is going to be worse than the Message translation, I'm telling you right now. But I don't care what you want, God. I will do what I want to do. I will be the one who ascends on the throne. I will be the one who comes in from the east or I can't remember what direction it is. But basically what he was saying is, no, you're talking about how, you know, the great things you are going to do. No, I'm going to do those. Was that an Isaiah reference? Am I anywhere in the right page here at all, or should I just stop doing radio altogether?
I wouldn't stop doing radio. You're doing a good job, obviously. That's the point of evil. I mean, God wants everything to be harmonious and to be. God creates the universe out of love, and He wants the universe to love Him back, and He creates human beings and angels out of love, and He wants us to love Him back. And so if we say, we don't want that, you know, we that's what you want, God, but we don't want that. We want, you know, to push our ego forward. We want to do what we want to do, and we don't want to pay any attention to you. That's the essence of sin, the essence of evil, and you know, Satan is the great metaphor for that.
Okay, has Dr. Jeffrey Burton Russell, also known as Jeffrey, have you ever encountered the devil?
Well, lots of times, in the sense of temptation and sin, of course.
But you know what I mean? Have you ever? Because I mean, if anybody's going to encounter the devil, it's probably the guy who's written five killer books. Maybe I shouldn't use that word on the devil. And you know, he's not impressed with the fact that you're opening his bag of tricks and letting everybody know. And so, has he ever attacked you? Has he ever oppressed you? Has he ever possessed you? Has he ever shown up in a more evil way than just temptation?
I've never had any experience with the devil. I did tell you one thing, though, honestly, and that is that after I finished that last book, The Prince of Darkness, I did undergo several months of rather deep depression, and I have a feeling that the devil was so mad that I was giving him up for something else. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. If, you know, depression can lead to despair, which of course is a sin, and thank God I didn't get into that. But it was a very strong depression after finishing those books.
The people have asked me throughout the years what I think of the devil. As a matter of fact, I have a film crew coming from Eastern Canada next week or the week after, and they're doing a documentary about the devil, and they're going to be asking me the same questions. And what I inevitably summarize, I guess, the best way I can summarize how I feel about the devil is this. There are those that give him too much credit, and there are those that don't give him enough credit. Fair enough?
Famous quotation, the devil's greatest success is causing us to think that he doesn't exist.
Right. Okay, so since he exists, and you think he's real, should we be afraid of him?
Yes and no. I mean, ultimately, prayer and faith in Christ will save us. Christ is always, always, always stronger than the devil. So, being with Christ will always protect us from the devil. But then, in terms of his power to mislead us, you know, to make us think that we're doing the right thing or actually not. And I think most of us have had that experience. You know, he's a good liar. He's a good tempter. He knows how to push our buttons. You know, he knows how to get us to get on the wrong path.
Okay, so Jeffrey, is there a certain way to maybe pray or bind him, to use the famous phraseology, or stop him from messing with us? Is there a certain way that we should be praying?
Well, you know, the Lord's Prayer does it. It ends up, deliver us from evil. And, you know, that's all we should say. Now, all we need to say. Now, you know, if you're feeling really oppressed or tempted or something like that, you can always make a direct prayer to Christ. Christ helped me. Christ saved me. And that's the sincere, it will help you. It will save you. Christ is always more powerful. The devil likes to make us think that he's this powerful, this God, he can do whatever he wants. But,
right, right.
And we by ourselves, you know, have a hard time with that. But Christ never has a hard time with him.
Okay, now you know as well as I do that there's a lot of ministries out there who are teaching people how to pray properly or effectively, and they're the happy clappy demon behind every rock kind of Frank Peretti worshipers who use the certain phrasing, and if you don't invoke Jesus' name, or if you don't say I bind the spirit, or I cast out the spirit of hangnails in you so that you'll stop getting hangnails, or the spirit of speeding, I want to cast that out of you. How do you feel about that whole realm?
Well, that's being very specific and sometimes a little more than a little trivial, you know. No, there's no formula. That would be magic. There's no particular formula that you use to get rid of the devil or anything you don't like. You just place yourself, you place yourself in the hands of Christ and pray, and he'll take care of it.
But I remember, Dr. Russell, I remember seeing in a couple of movies a priest trying to stop Satan, and he got killed.
Probably think of The Exorcist, huh?
I'm sorry to bring that up. Okay, so does the devil take human form, ever?
Certainly in terms of Scripture and the tradition of the Church, the devil can take human form. I've fortunately never seen him in human form, although, you know, you can encounter some pretty awful people sometimes in your life.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this. You know the part of the Bible where the pigs, Jesus sucked the demons on the pigs. Is that how you say it? They said, okay, get out of this guy and go get into those pigs over there, and then they ran off the cliff. So I've got a horse who misbehaves an awful lot. Should I be praying over my horse?
Well, I think you can pray for the welfare and well-being of the horse. I don't think I'd assume that a demon was in it.
No. I think if they're going to show up in anything, it's going to be teenagers. All right, so, I mean, look, we're trying to... it's just the way I approach things. I know there's people out there getting angry with me that I'm taking this lightly or I'm making jokes about the devil. But you're laughing, Jeffrey, you're laughing. So you're the expert on the devil. How serious of a subject should this be? Should we never joke about this? Are we breaking rules?
No, I think you can joke about it. In fact, I suspect that what the devil hates most is people laughing at him. Because he really is kind of a fool, you know. I mean, he sets himself up to be God, and God banishes him, but he still is running around doing his business, thinking he's a big deal. It is kind of ridiculous. I mean, that on the other hand, I mean, sometimes, of course, obviously, evil is really terrible, and in those cases, in those cases like that, then we concentrate and we pray, and we pray that Christ will overcome him. But I don't think he likes being laughed at either.
Right. Well, you know, I wonder about sort of how he works, and we've often heard of you've got a bullseye in the back of your head because you're doing such a great ministry, and if you're doing great things for the Lord, the bullseye gets bigger, and then Satan is really after you more, which, if you follow that thought process through to the end, means if you don't want your family or your ministry or your life screwed up by Satan, then stop doing great things for the Lord.
Well, that's a very interesting question, because here's the early church fathers back as early as the second, third century, that the closer you get to God, the more the devil doesn't like you, and so the more he targets you. That's kind of a caution. On the other hand, you know, again, praying to Christ, that Christ will always protect you. The devil can come at you in all kinds of ways, but Christ will always protect you. So you certainly don't stop doing ministry because the devil may have his eye on you.
Right, right. Okay, let's talk. And by the way, folks, we're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Burton Russell, who is the world's leading expert on the devil. Let's talk about the Antichrist thing. I don't know what that means. Where does the Antichrist fit in, into all this devil stuff? Like, for example, if Obama and Oprah had a love child, would that be the Antichrist?
I
think Fox News would agree with me on this one.
I don't think so, no. No, the Antichrist, you know, the Antichrist is usually seen as a person coming at the end of the world, but other theologians have thought the Antichrist, that is, Antichrist appearing in numerous forms. I mean, obviously, people like Hitler are Antichrist.
Right. Okay, so is there such a thing? Should we be looking out for an Antichrist, for a person born with a 666 on a skull or somewhere hidden somewhere else? Should we be looking out for this, or should we be looking out for an Antichrist, a child born with evil numbers or signs or you know what I mean?
I would think that's taking it too literally. I think we keep our eye out for Antichrist. That is, for people who are fighting Christ and fighting the kingdom of God, and but it's for the incarnation of one single person as the Antichrist. One trouble with that is that people have been talking about the Antichrist, identifying different people as the Antichrist right from the beginning. This guy is Antichrist or this guy is Antichrist and so forth.
Yeah.
Hundreds of examples of that, and of course, they may be evil people, but they don't necessarily signify this great powerful person at the end of the world. I think we need to take that more generally than specifically.
Okay, what is the first thing, Jeffrey, that you would like? For example, they tell me there's 100,000 people that listen to the show. There's over 100 countries that listen online, so you've got a big audience here, and I'm sure you've spoken with bigger audiences around through media outlets. But I'm giving you the platform right now. What is the first thing, the most important thing, that you'd like Western Christians to know about the devil? You've got one thing to get across. What is it that you want to get across?
That the devil is a power of evil that comes to everyone. That is to say that everybody is tempted to evil, and that what we must do is to pray to Christ, give ourselves to Christ, and let him fight for us.
You know, I've said to people over the years, when they ask me about this devil stuff and Satan stuff and evil and all that, my pushback to, you know, is the devil real or should I be worried about the devil? I kind of get all Jeremiah 17 on their backsides. And I sort of say, look, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I guess I'm more concerned with how my own justifying and rationalizing and deceptive heart is working its evil in my life before I'm worried about Satan working evil in my life. Am I incorrect theologically to say that?
No, I think, you know, we are there's original sin. I mean, we are all tempted to evil. We would be if Satan didn't exist. But I think we have to distinguish between the evil that happens and that's in us, And what I call radical evil, that is something completely and totally evil, such as, well, obviously the Holocaust or the Soviet gulags and so forth, something that is really completely evil, like people driving, flying airplanes into buildings and so forth. Things that are really radically evil as opposed to the normal evil that we, you know, get into, quarreling with our wives and so forth.
Yeah.
But I think there's an important thing is, and there's a tendency for all of us to find the devil in other people. That is to say, oh, that guy's really evil, or boy, she's really wicked, and so forth, or those guys, you know, the enemy. Those are evil. We tend to demonize our enemies, and to get real peace and harmony with the Lord, we need to look into ourselves first.
Very well said. Tony Campolo has said this a lot recently. You know, the old phrase, love the sinner but hate their sin, and he's tweaked it by saying, love the sinner, hate your own sin.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Sure. Start with yourself. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't help other people unless you help yourself, unless Christ helps you.
Okay. The final question that everybody asks me year after year after year when I talk about the devil on my show is, can Christians be possessed? And I've heard it said that Christians cannot be possessed by the devil, but they can be oppressed by the devil. Answer?
Answer, they certainly can be oppressed by the devil. Possession, it can happen. I don't know what to say about that, because it can happen. It certainly is biblical and traditional in the church. I've seen some strange things, but the weirdest one I ever saw ended up having a natural explanation. So I think what you do if you see someone who appears to be possessed is you first see, is there a physical problem here? Is there a psychological problem here? And, is there a drug problem? Whatever. You go through all the natural explanations for it before you start thinking, well, it might be the devil.
Right, right. Yeah, well, I'll give you an example. I used to deliver a message when I used to be a pastor. I used to deliver a message about the devil, and it was just informing people who were sitting there actually listening what the devil is, what he does, et cetera, et cetera. And the microphone went dead while I was doing this one time. Oh, boy, people were, we should be praying. Let's gather hands right now and pray against the spirit and pray against the enemy and pray. And I said, why don't we change the battery? Yeah.
Look for the natural explanations first, sure.
Listen, Dr. Russell, it is good to chat with you. It's quite an honor. You are quite respected amongst your peers, except one gentleman speaks very poorly of you, a gentleman named Dr. Jim Beverly, and I'm not sure why he gossips so much about you and tries to drag your name through the mud time and time again.
I don't know about that.
Of course, Shirley, I jest, and stop calling me Shirley. He's a great guy, and he's the one that's put me on to you. Thanks, Jeffrey. I really appreciate your time and all that you've done in those writings. I would highly recommend you can go to Google, throw in your name, Dr. Jeffrey Burton Russell, click on the scholar link at the drop down at the top of Google, and you can read your books online. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Somebody's not getting any money. I'm telling you, the royalties are sneaking away from you.
Well, that's what the devil does.
Well said. Well said. Jeffrey, I appreciate your time, mate. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Drew.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Dr. Jeffrey Burton Russell, again, the world's leading expert on the devil. Can you believe it, folks? Melinda, a follow-up from that from you? What did you think?
That was good. Whoa, that was loud.
Yeah.
He's fascinating.
I wish we could hear him better. It was a bad phone connection.
But I like how he said that. I think he said, always make, in the last comment, he said, make sure that you kind of explain things in the natural first before we immediately go to the devil made me do it. He's the devil. She's the devil. My teenagers are devils.
Mm-hmm.
That's naturally.
That's conclusive right there.
Exactly.
Very well.
That's good.
All right, folks, a short break on the show. And when we come back, we will be speaking with author of The Vampire Chronicles, Anne Rice. Stay with us.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.